The meeting is called to order. All rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. The flag somewhere over there. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so this is not the public hearing, but it is the public comment period prior to the meeting. And I'm wondering if anyone has any comment you would like to make at this time.
Does the agenda cover the mortgage rates? It didn't. I thought it did because there was a public forum. But if it doesn't, I'd like to make the comment.
Part of the board package. Maybe in the handouts up there. Sam, are they in the handouts?
Yes, sir.
I've been getting one.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a separate budget.
This is the one you sent us. And that's not on the agenda?
It is.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment. I personally don't care what the mortgage rates are to get a lease or a slip or that, but I would like to ask you to expand your thinking so that more people that want to use the boat and get a slip can get a slip, because there's a lot of people down there, I think, that don't even use their boats. You know, maybe there are reasons they can't, which could be excused, but if they don't use their boats, they ought to vacate that slip and let somebody that wants to use a boat. That's my only comment. And of course, I have some ideas to do that, but that's
Thank you. Lynn?
Is now an appropriate time to make some comments with regards to the e-reader board, or something that will be covered later on in the meeting?
It won't be.
Okay. So I think this is an appropriate time.
Okay. My understanding with regards to the cost that will be related to the e-reader board will be $25 per message per week. If I'm wrong, please go ahead and correct me. But coming from the community center, I'm a little bit concerned at the number of events that we would like to publicize for the community and the impact that it would have on our budget. So I'm not aware of any other type of bulk rates that might have been discussed. And if so, I'd be interested in learning more about those. But at the rate that it stands, it's not something that I believe the village would be able to afford to buy into as often as we would like to.
We won't take that up and discuss it now, but we will. I'm sure that Jim will get back to you and talk about the impacts, because we're keenly aware and want this sign to work. Any other comments? Okay. Consent agenda. The consent agenda basically at this point includes routine matters and will be enacted by one motion of the commission without separate discussion. If discussion is desired, anyone can ask to remove it from the consent agenda. Basically, it is the approval of the regular meeting minutes from September 27th, October 10th, and the two special meetings, October 10th and October 17th, and approval of warrants.
And commissioners, if I may make a comment to the warrants. This morning, there were additional warrants added. I was a little under the line to get those emailed to you for review, so they're included in your packets. They were as well posted online for the review of the public prior to the meeting. The additional warrants, there is a warrant list. You'll see it as item number 3 on the quick reference list, and it is warrant list number 32727 to 32746. That is for the amount of $155,584.97. And there is an additional electronic warrant, and that is warrant number R as in Romeo 52589, and that is in the amount of $4,785.34.
And
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, and what is that a second warrant for?
The second warrant, Juanita, if you wouldn't mind.
This is for my federal medical loan payment.
No.
It was what?
A 941 payment for payroll.
So is that satisfactory to include those in the list of warrants for the consent agenda?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no concern about that. Just take a second to look at the list. I see that Homeland Construction Company is. Which project is that, Jim? Is
that's the office.
That's the office, okay. And that's 86, almost 87,000 of that, so that's about half. And then payment of leasehold tax, and filled up the gas tank again.
So, payment of Hearthstone, is that our last one?
Hearthstone.
Oh, that's Dennis. Never mind. Yeah, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many H's.
Hearthstone. Isn't that those high-priced accountants we use?
I see lawyers on here.
I move the approval of the consent agenda as augmented by these last two warrant lists.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So approved. Now we are going to have a public hearing concerning the, in order to take your input concerning the proposed the budget for 2018. And there is no one signed up to make public comment.
So but if you'd like me to possibly do an overview, and that means spur some public discussion of the budget, would that be appropriate?
Yes.
So what we're looking at is a fairly flat budget. Going into this year, our income is said to raise about 4%. And how that's being generated is we are increasing the rate for permanent mortgage, but not on ADOC. ADOC tends to be the small boats that we don't want to penalize the small boats, and we have the largest vacancy over time on ADOC. So we're going to hold ADOC to the 567 that it is now, and we're going to increase B, C, D, and E by 3%. So that'll be a 3% increase there. The other change we're making is in our guest mortgage. We get comments all the time from people that say you're nickel and diming us to death, because they'll come in and say it's a dollar a foot for mortgage, and then you've got to pay electricity, and then you've got to pay this. So we decided that, looked at all the numbers, and said if we were to raise our guest mortgage rates to $1.10 and include electricity, it's not an extra charge, include free shower, so you don't have to pay quarters of shower, include free use of our electric vehicles, it's quite a deal. So we're going to start on an advertising campaign and a public awareness campaign that, yes, the rates have gone up a little bit. However, these are the added values you're going to get. And I think the public is going to embrace that. The other proposed increase we're doing is it's been 4 years since we raised parking fees. So parking fees are right now $5 for 12 hours. We're proposing to go up to $6 for 12 hours for parking. We don't know what we don't know as far as when these passenger ferry comes in and that impact but we thought we'd better come in at the beginning of the year because we've made a lot of substantial upgrades to our parking, restriping, additional Ventec machine, seal coating. That's all cost quite a bit of money, so we want to recoup some of that cost on parking. So that's actually going to generate $40,000 if we can just keep the same volume of the show up $1 for 12 hours. The projected decrease, and we've done this a couple of years, but this year is the year it's going to happen, is we get quite a revenue stream from Diamond Parking, which is located in Washington Park, or up where Washington Park is going to be. That is going away. We are going out to bid in January for construction of Washington Boulevard Park. And so any revenue we generate from Diamond Parking will be going away at that point. So that's that nets out to about a 4% increase in revenue. Our expenses, we're putting in at an 18% increase, and that's mainly due to the disposition of the Red Ferry. We need to understand that we're going to have to pay money to get rid of that red boat. It's not worth what we owe on it, and at this point we're very aggressively looking at selling it, knowing that it's going to be about $150,000 or $160,000 of our budget that we're going to have to pay the federal government back in order to get rid of that boat. So that's on a very aggressive campaign because that dock is going to be used by the passenger ferry, so it needs to be vacated pretty quickly. So when you look at the report globally, you'll see that we're in pretty good shape. Most of our income will pay for all of our operating expenses. We will continue to be able to use non-operating, like tax dollars and interest, on capital projects to include paying back our $1 million loan for covered mortgage. So all in all, it's going to be a good year, and I think we can make this budget and probably beat this budget.
Ron?
How will you pay to get rid of the red boat? I'm all for that. I know it's no fault of these current commissioners or anybody's fault. We have it. What are we going to do to get rid of it, Jim?
So we have it listed with two brokers now. We have a new broker that has a pretty hot person that really wants it, San Francisco. Would go down to the San Francisco Bay Area, which is an easy transport. The issues we've had is all the interest has been on the East Coast, and getting it through the Panama Canal has been so expensive that it doesn't make sense for people. So having someone on the West Coast that's interested, however, you know, the appraised value of that boat is now about $375, $380 in that area, and we owe almost $500,000 on it. So that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to sell it. That money's going to go to the FTA along with whatever the balance is in order to get free, clear title of that boat to transfer.
So you have a firm offer for that?
Don't have a firm offer yet, but they threw out that on the table, and we're going to continue talking. So they're going to go through an inspection as the next part.
Good luck. I'm all for it.
Yep.
Linda?
With regards to the passenger on the ferry now mooring where the red boat is, do you have any plans for improvement of the little cabin that you walk through when there's a pet name for it?
The gerbil tube?
Yeah.
Mold incubator?
Refurbishment of that?
Yeah, I handed Kitsap Transit a $1.6 million proposal. And that will include a bunch of things. One is the barge itself that the boat's moored to is in need of serious renovation. So that alone is $560,000. The gerbil tube, if you want to call it that, we have a quote from a contractor to insulate it, drywall the inside of it, put heating and air conditioning in, all new windows and paint. And a roof, so it'll have a 412 pitch roof on it. So it'll actually look like, we're going to try to make it look like an old-time covered bridge that you see in the East Coast, you know, with a nice little pitched roof. Because this boat is a larger boat than the one we operated, 350 passengers, it puts us into a whole new security category. So we'll have to provide a dry area for security should the MARSEC level get above 3. So what that's going to take tail, and what we're proposing is to the structure that the kayak rack uses is a very nice looking structure. We're proposing to make one of those a little bigger and place it on the dock in front of that tube so that security can be cleared in a covered environment there on the dock before you enter into the dual tube. So that's part of it. The other part of it is Kitsap Transit would like fuel out the dock to fuel boats and sewage transport. So those two things are in there. All that totals $1.6 million. I gave Kitsap Transit a bunch of options that they could pay us on a monthly basis, they could pay us on an annual basis. They would like to capitalize it. So if they approve this, and they haven't approved it yet, because it's a newspaper, then what we'll do is we'll capitalize it. The port will manage the project, we'll build the infrastructure, and then Kitsap Transit will pay for it. But those deals are yet to be worked out. But we're getting very close, and there's a lot of work being done in that regard.
Is that reflected anywhere in your budget?
In the budget here, it's $800,000. So if you look at the capital budget, which is the 18 capital budget, it's reflected at $800,000. That was before I got the bad news in the morning. So that's going up quite a bit. But you'll see that it's offset by Kitsap Transit, as in Washington Boulevard Park at 425 in that sheet is being reimbursed by RCO.
Mary, I think two meetings ago you mentioned that you would like to see on the website information on what's going to happen down on the waterfront as we get it down. So stay tuned.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll get that information out. It's just
We have a whole web page designed. We just need Kitsap Transit to say, "Let's do this," and then we'll know we can put it out there.
It's a pretty strong statement from Kitsap Transit of their intention to work through their problems with the Bremerton ferries and get to Kingston. Everything we've heard from them is that they are on time getting here in the spring or summer, so it's very heartening. No more comments. Any comments from
on the budget?
Budget rates.
I think we should have a footnote that acknowledges that we will get revenue from fuel sales and float rental from Kitsap Transit. Not an amount, but just a budget note for in that executive summary. And I've also, there will be a possibility of litigation costs. Just verbal, not dollars. So it wouldn't change anything we send to the state, but just for transparency.
So it is noted in here, both litigation costs and it's a zero, which we have no idea, as well as.
Is that in the executive summary?
It's in both executive summaries.
Okay, I missed it. Okay. Do we acknowledge the fuel sales?
We don't. That's one thing.
And we slip around the light. Just so folks know.
Yeah, there are a number of things I've noticed that could be impacted by just how it works out with Kitsap Transit. For one, on the income side, will be interest. If we're laying out funds to build and then getting reimbursed, we're losing interest in that. That's not a major portion of our budget, but it's still a factor. And the markup on fuel. So it's hard to say what those would be now, and I think we're right to go forward with the budget without waiting to get all the answers.
Well, one of the things that staff and I were talking about is if, in fact, if we're going to have to fuel the boat at 2,000 gallons a day, that's going to take additional manpower. So we need to be thinking of expenses that's going to generate as well as income. Mm-hmm.
Have you looked into, I think you mentioned at one of our prior budget meetings, the potential for using the state bulk fuel purchase contract. Is that still an option or still under consideration?
Casey sent me an email. We traded fuel prices. He has a state contract. I gave him our price for that day, and we were 4 cents cheaper than state contract. So we're actually getting a very good rate. So he said, thank you very much, we'll use your provider.
I think the issue with the state contract is you hedging your fuel. That's the,
is what?
They're hedging their fuel there.
Oh.
So the state's buying a long-term contract. So if you're interested in, if you're concerned about volatility of diesel prices,
right,
then that's why you do the state thing. And that's what's the premium problem there for.
Dumb question. There's no way we could fuel up the Washington State Ferries. I mean, every week or every other week they go all the way down to Harbor Island. Is there any way we can make some money doing that? I know it's a dumb question. But
it's not a dumb question. Our tankage is very small. We only have 10,000 gallons of fuel. So if, in fact, we're going to do 2,000 gallons a day on the passenger ferry, we're going to have a truck there almost every other day. I don't know that we could do that. Capacity, you know.
But at night, I mean, I don't know if we'd make any money, but those guys burn a lot of diesel.
Yeah.
And we're the closest thing to Harbor Island that they've got.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Something to look into.
Most ferries are used with tanker trucks, and they come on at night, but because the jumbos use so much fuel, that's why they go to Florida. They could get to Hawaii on how much fuel they carry.
So it's just,
I think it's a volume issue, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe we could install a facility here. It's something to think about.
Well, maybe they could pay for it. I mean, that's costing a lot of money to go back to Harbor Island, not to mention the crew costs and everything else. Mm-hmm. We're cheap. We just want a few bucks.
So how does that relate to installing tankage for the passenger only ferry? Different kinds of fuel?
No, different kind of fuel. It's just we can handle the 2,000 gallons a day, but if we had to do another 5,000 gallons a day, we just don't have the capacity. Besides what we use for our marina.
Right.
Because as you can see by paying the bills, we go through a lot of fuel just in recreation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But an interesting idea worth exploring. Thank you. Any other comments about the proposed budget, rate increase, et cetera?
I think it's fair to also remind folks that we are doing the 3% mortgage rate on BCD and EDOCS, but in the first quarter we're going to undertake a broader study of the structure of our mortgage rates and see if there is a better, more fair way to do it. And just what that would be, for example, you know, double hull boats and wider boats and things like that that we have to think about. So that'll be on the table for discussion in the first quarter. There may be further adjustments to the rates in the spring, but for now we're just going to go with the flat 3% on those docks.
Also, just to add on to what you said about the, we're going to look. Oh, I'm not here, but you're going to look at parking, a comprehensive review of space allocation and parking. So. Because that'll be part of the passenger ferry thing, to look at the adequacy and availability and all that. So there'll be a comprehensive look at parking next year as well, once we get into this passenger ferry.
But I think in November, we're going to start talking about what the work program for next year looks like. So that would also be a really good thing to have people in the community paying attention. Okay, so I think we can adjourn the public hearing at this point. And we need to note the time.
1:24.
And reconvening to the special commission hearing meeting. And our first topic there is the quarterly financial report.
Good afternoon. Nice figure here. We are going to review the financial statements for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2017, and we are three quarters of the way through 2017. And so at this point, a lot of numbers are going on a cash basis of accounting, as you recall. Some of the numbers now are firming up in terms of the monthly variances. I'm not showing them off as much as they did initially.
And so we're getting a better idea of the trends and where we're likely to be by the end of the year with regard to certain accounts. That said, we have a standard compilation report on page 1. And again, as Anita knows, that we do not do the audit of the court. The state auditor is coming. That being tomorrow, is that right?
She changed it to, she might be changing it to November 1st.
Okay. Anyhow, we do a compiled financial statement, whereas the actual state auditor takes the financial statements and then audits the numbers behind them. And as we all know, and when we look at the comparative income statement from this year to last year, it can be an expensive process and time-consuming one. However, let's go ahead and take a look at the, we have three different income statements, one that compares to budget on the 9 months ended September 30th, one that compares this September to last year's September 2006, and one that compares 9 months ended September 30th, 2017 to 9 months ended September 30th, 2016. So three different income statements to do a comparative analysis and trend analysis, etc. So on page 3 is the income statement compared to the budget for 9 months ended September 30th, 2017. And when we compare revenues to the budget, we are basically $10,400 over budget. And those individual variances are displayed later on page 6, where we go through the different line items. And one of the things, I'll jump back to page 6 right now, and what Jim was talking about in the budget, right in the middle of the page, you see the Diamond parking revenue, that's $11,154, and with the Washington Park Boulevard project, he said that's a possibility with looking at one of the decreases for next year. So you're looking at probably around $15,000 a year.
What page are you on?
That would be on page 6.
So I see Diamond Parking at 9657.
Yes. Diamond, page 6, Diamond Parking, $11,154 is the actual revenue for the 9 months ending.
You missing it? Maybe I'm...
Page 6.
Yeah.
Diamond Parking, $11,154.
Diamond Parking here is 9657. Oh, maybe I'm in the wrong month. Sorry.
Yeah, that was last month.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Well, we, so.
Notebook's getting kind of thick.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Anyhow, I just wanted to point that out related to what sure. Jim was saying earlier to actually where that number's embedded in the financial statements. Compared to your expectation that you did a year ago, revenues are really right on overall. We talked about, you know, the transient mortgage, we'll see that back there on page 6 again, all those different variances. I think what's very interesting is that, as I was talking about the fact that we have 9 months under our belt now, gas sales, you know, some months, and particularly this month of September, month by month, since we're on a cash basis, if you simply have sales but didn't buy the but bought the gas last month, you'll show a huge margin for the month. Well, these things tend to cancel out as we've gone through 9 months, and here we are, and just looking at the margin that was budgeted back on page 6 and also up on page 3, I see the margin on gas, sales, less cost, $82,884. The budget was $83,445, $560 off. That's pretty darn close. And so, again, that's what I was saying about having some time now. Having passed, we can get decent trend analysis and see where we're really going to be by the end of the year. If you look at 3/4 of the way through and say, okay, the budget was actually, you know, pretty darn accurate, and a whole lot of things happened in the meantime, prices going up and down. So, with regard to operating expenses, again, compared to budget, there's some the items in the far right column that aren't bracketed under expenses are those that are negative variances, i.e. the amounts exceed the budget. And the two most noteworthy items on there, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, are the lawsuit settlement of $166,000, and then the consulting fees of $31,000. That's basically, we add those together, that's $196,000. And other items tend to offset each other in there, but that's certainly why the amount
is over budget. And in doing this analysis, we can see with regard to capital assets, we're basically not creating a variance there. We all knew that you were going to cover mortgage in the office, et cetera. Those expenditures are reflected in the purchase of capital assets of $992,000, essentially you spent $1 million on upgrade your with your capital expenditures this year. And we've at prior meetings we've talked about those two items. Everything else, yes, there's a few items over budget, but then there's a number of items under budget. So if you're looking for the material variances, well, those are them. Non-operating revenues down below, compared to budget, you're $30,000 higher than you expected originally. And that's just most of those items are timing with regard, and that's again back on page 6 at the bottom of the page. It's timing with regard to interest expense and the bonds. Interest income was the interest rates have actually crept up. Property tax receipts are $13,000 over budget. So again, that tends to negate some of the sting out of the lawsuit settlement and consulting fees, et cetera. So we get to the end of the year, yes, you have a net loss of $979,000. However, remember, based on the way we account for fixed assets, that's basically reflected in the covered mortgage as well as the new office and other capital expenditures. So
will those items be added to the balance sheet at the end of the year?
No.
At the year end?
No. Those
are showing as an expense now, but then it becomes a capital asset, right?
No. No. You, on the cash basis that you are on, those items are not reflected as assets on your cash basis balance sheet, which, let's go back and look at page 2. Those only reflect your cash balances.
Okay, so it's not at the end of the year, right? So
that's correct.
It's not transferred.
That's correct.
The year.
That's correct.
It doesn't show as an asset.
Right, it is not.
Okay.
And let's just, to emphasize that point, let's go back to page 2, and all we have on there are cash assets and cash liabilities. So back when the state auditor was recommending you switch to the cash basis in order to not have to do the detailed annual report, et cetera, I mean, these are the, some of the, if you will, they're the consequences of being on the cash basis.
Just a question, the consulting fees, is that variance because we haven't gotten reimbursed?
Right. So that's the question I was going to ask. That's for our consultant for the PERB grant. When that $30,000 comes in, where is that going to be reflected on this?
That will come in that will come in under non-operating over on page down at the bottom. It will be reflected as revenues. Just like similar to property tax receipts. I mean, we've got a mismatch time period. We've expended the money, we'll get it hopefully this year. So.
The parking variance, is that the back or 6K?
That's
on page 6.
Well, that was the steel coating of the.
Okay, got it. Okay, good.
Yes. So, back to page 3. Again, looking at the net loss, yes, not $979,000, but we expended above $992,000 on the purchase of capital assets. So if we were doing GAAP accounting as we used to, we would basically be on a break-even. That said, next page, we have a comparative income statement, September 30th, 2017 and 2016. And this is where we get whipsawed a little bit by timing. And not so much with, as a good example, I was speaking about fuel sales. We have this year $14,000 of margin. If you look at operating revenues, the last line item there. Last year we actually had a large loss, so it creates this large variance, and these are all timing differences simply by buying gas in one period when we sell it in a different period. And we can cut both ways. And again, this, by looking at things on a monthly basis, it tracks your cash. It does not give you a good trend or comparative analysis because of these fluctuations you can run by simply writing a check that you do it this month or next month. Accrual accounting doesn't do that to you. So, the other thing I would point out, in looking down the income statement, it looks like the insurance bill got paid this month, $68,000. Last year it was only paid in obviously not in the month of September, $750. And so, again, this is a one-month expenditure, large number, that tends to distort what goes on during the month. But, of course, in terms of writing checks and keeping track of your cash balance, this is the money that went out during the month. The other item on here, purchase of capital assets, $199,000. Just looking at the list of what that consists of, sea level, $82,000. Homeland Construction, $70,000. We talked about them earlier with the warrants. And then Scorpion Ironworks, replace flow connections, $19,000. Anyhow, again, those are just simply primarily the dock and covered mortgage repairs, as well as the office construction costs. So, again, this is, we're tracking cash during the month, and so we had operating, you know, cash outflows of $370,000. Compared to 2016, $123,000, but you weren't in a big capital construction project last year. So a little bit, it lets you compare things to last year, but really doesn't give you anything to make decisions, et cetera. You know, it's more informative looking back at the budget. Was it expected? If you look at those budget variances on page 3. Down below, operating, non-operating revenues, again, that's just timing of things, and it's really not too informative to look at the change between years. Other than, again, I think that on page 7, when we get back to the operating revenues, comparing the month of September with revenue-wise compared to 2016, that does make sense. Now, the next page, a little more informative with regard to comparative analysis. We're comparing 9 months of 2017, 9 months of 2016, and we can see, yes, not only did we beat budget on page 3, but compared to last year, our revenues are $50,000 over budget. So, in terms of the revenue generating cycle, the port has, you know, done a good job. And again, those are going to be detailed back on page 8. Operating expenses, again, we now compare items that, you know, we have different things going on, particularly with regard to purchase of capital assets. You spent $1 million essentially this year. Last year you spent $115,000. Well, sure, can't do that every year. You're not going to rebuild the covered mortgage every year. Again, we've got the lawsuit, $166,000 this year, nothing last year. That, of course, creates a large change between the 2 years. Salaries and wages and payroll taxes, as you recall, back in April, I believe it was, that you did a budget amendment to take into account changes in salaries and wages and the result of payroll taxes. So even though the amounts are more than this year, a better metric is to go back to page 3 and compare it to the budget that's adjusted, and we're not really that far off the budget when we look at that, those numbers. So yes, even though there are variances, they're really not indicative of a problem, et cetera. This was anticipated and, in fact, budgeted. And so salaries and wages, yes, they are over budget back on page 3 of $4,800, but not to the magnitude of what you see on the page here of $61,000. We did a budget adjustment. So I think you just have to remember all the different pieces that go into this. We're being on the cash basis in order to interpret it. Not operating revenues, I think that's very important to compare this year, $127,000, $130,000 last year. The amounts are really quite comparable. Nothing going on there that's out of whack. What really has been happening is that we have some debt service costs we now have to deal with. So now back to page 6, we've been here once before. We look at the operating revenues compared to the budget for the 9 months ended September 30th. And we see marina user charges, and that's $11,000 under budget. But we talked about the transient mortgage and the construction prior to this time, and so that's the primary culprit. Although the base, we've got some other variances. The base rate is under budget, but we've got winter mortgage and the electricity pass-through is a little higher. So I look at $600,000. This year, 668, 679 last year, and we're aware of the transient mortgage issue. I don't see any kind of issues there. Property rentals activity, property rentals and facilities, The parking is significantly over budget. So we talked about Diamond parking, also over budget. Hill House rental, we've spoken about that, the status of that during prior meetings, all the things necessary to get the house ready to rent. Fuel sales, again, I've already gone over that we're very close to budget there. And then down below, compared to budget, you can see the property tax receipts being over budget, interest expense less than the amount that was originally budgeted, interest income being over. So anyhow, these explain the amounts back on page 3. Next page goes through for the month again, and you get comparing 1 month, September this year versus September last year, and you can see everything. Again, we're getting whipsawed on the fuel in terms of the margin of $14,000 last year. We had a timing issue, and so it creates that really kind of funny looking variance that's really only not meaningful. But when we go back to the prior page and look at year to date numbers, it does make sense. And again, this is simply a function of when we write the checks for the purchase of fuel. Non-operating revenues, $128 this year versus the $7,400. You can see the components of that. Interest expense being the primary one. And just like to emphasize also, we do have to account for cash transactions that don't run through the income statement for things like tenant deposits, et cetera. That's what runs through that last line, tenant deposits, advance payments on accounts receivable. Those do change our cash balances, but they really aren't part of operations. We're really just doing trust accounting, taking someone's money and applying it somewhere. Last page 8 is comparing 9 months this year versus 9 months last year with regard to operating revenues. And again, pointed out, property rentals, virtually every category is over budget versus except for non-operating revenues. So as it's basically, not only was it over budget, but compared to last year, you're doing better on the revenues. And the last page is the one that we tie everything together. We take the cash balances as of August 31st, and then we do a little accounting with regard to the change in liability accounts and the net loss for September. Again, remember that net loss includes $200,000 of capital expenditures, i.e. they're really not just an expense. It's the covered mortgage and the new office. And so when we account for the differences between the liabilities and the net loss, we end up with cash and investments. If we did our job right, that number, I thought we'd check this, we'll read into the ending balance sheet of what the cash we have on hand as of September 30th, which is $2,470,000.
Any questions? Any other comments? Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm the only one who gets excited about the accounting.
Well, actually, I'm married to one, and I find it really interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, thanks, Deb.
Okay, so action items. We're going to move into resolutions, considering resolutions adopting the budget, the capital budget, and commissioner's rate schedule, as well as the tax levy increase. So we'll work through these one at a time. Page 30 is really page 31. Resolution number 1002-2017, resolution adopting 2018 budget. Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll so move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
I could. The budget we have in front of you, the one that's been public on our website, is staff's budget recommendation. We think it's very sound. This information, upon your approval for change, will go to Dennis's organization. he will put this through monthly columns because he's got the historical history on when things come due. So what you see here, if you approve it, will look different, but the totals will be all the same. There's full disclosure there.
So are there any editorial changes that need to be made to what you gave us?
I
saw on the website.
Yeah, we want to change the budget narrative. Again, there's a couple of errors that I found this morning in the budget narrative, and I apologize for that. So once we get an approval on the numbers in the budget, we'll go through and actually make some corrections for the narrative to put on the website. Most of the things are percentages. One says it's only a 1% increase, it's really a 4% increase, things like that, only in the narrative.
That doesn't go to the state. No. So that's, we can prove it subject
right
to your keeping the narrative clear.
Yeah, the narrative is something we adopted last year to really just inform the public on what this really means in layman's terms. And like I said, there are some errors in there, and we'll correct those so that it'll be on our website and everybody will know what these numbers represent.
I had one question that occurred to me when I was looking this over the last time, and I apologize, I should have noticed this month ago when we started working on this. I'm looking at credit card fees, and the 2017 budget was $35,000, and 2018 proposed budget is, or I'm sorry, it was $26,000, now it's gone down to $18,000. And I know we've had some discussion in the past about how our credit card fees were going up, and partly because we were encouraging people to use credit cards more and they were obliging. But how did we go down?
Notice I took that out of the narrative. Because we've got the best controller in the world. She negotiated a great rate. Remember that the 2017 was a budget projection. It wasn't reality. Mm-hmm. So we budgeted high thinking they were going to be higher, but in actuality they weren't higher. So we made an adjustment in 2018 to be more reflective of what we're experiencing.
Okay. Good job.
Is the sound burner expenses in $165,000 for next year, does that include everything that you see anticipated with the FTA?
That's the sale, right, the proposed sale. Yeah, we don't need to do any major maintenance to it this year, but we do have to dispose of it somehow.
Any other questions or comments? Since we are so packed, it's possible to entertain.
In general?
To the budget?
No, I have a question for Dennis, but I'll wait for the public comment.
Okay, great. Okay, so are we ready to act on this resolution? Adopting the 2018 budget as presented, recognizing that the narrative needs to be changed.
I have no further discussion. I have no more discussion.
No more discussion. I guess we call for the question.
Call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed. All right, there it is. And that leaves us for the next piece, which is resolution number 1003-2017, adopting the 2018 capital budget. Jim, did you have any comments you wanted to make about this?
Because we don't know what Kitsap Transit is going to do.
Is there a motion to adopt this as proposed? Then we'll have discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Until we get a firm commitment from Kitsap Transit, the $800,000 is a placeholder. The other numbers are pretty firm. So I would recommend that we just adopt this, knowing that that's going to be a pass-through, whatever that number is. And we will not be responsible for that.
And does that include that we wouldn't be responsible for any financing costs or anything? It would be basically completely on Kitsap Transit's nickel.
So they just submitted a grant for $5 million for the renovation of Kitsap, mm-hmm. Excuse me, Kingston and Bremerton's terminals. They have the support of Mr. Dix. He's going to bat for them. It's a federal grant and the county. And I think they have a pretty good chance of getting that. There's a pot of money called ferryboat discretionary money, and they're trying to tap into that, and I think they'll be successful. So that's what they're betting on, to mm-hmm. make these adjustments or these improvements.
Any idea when they will know on those grant yeah. applications?
Don't know, but Mr. Clausen assures me that they have that money in the bank, even if they don't.
So we can probably go ahead with the improvements.
Not until I have it in my
Well, can we go this way? Let me start again. Kitsap Transit can probably go ahead
yeah.
with those improvements, because there's a timing issue here. You know, and so the timing would stay the same. They would work out how they're getting it. But we're not talking about floating it. That's not yeah. poor choice of words.
Bruce, did you have any comments you wanted to make about this?
No, I think that Jim addressed that, because I did wonder how we deal with the $800,000 now, knowing that that is unlikely to be even close to what the number is, but it is passed through. And as long as this is adopted with the knowledge and intent that that number will change, as will the the mechanism for exactly how it gets passed through has yet to be determined. The other factors in there, the gates and dock entrances and the laundry and restroom renovation and the Ventec machines, the things that we're going to be responsible for, those are pretty tight cost estimates on that. So we can know that that's going to be the extent of our commitment there.
Well, perhaps we could expand the footnote concerning the terminal upgrades and make it clear that it's a floating number at this point, but that it will be covered by Kitsap Transit.
That's a good idea. Just
And the Washington Boulevard Park, is that also a firm number, or is that the same sort of?
That is what our grant is for.
Okay.
So we haven't bid the project yet, so we don't know what the numbers are going to come in at. But our match on that was a 50% match, and that was from property acquisition. So we've already accomplished that.
So we could at some point decide to go beyond that and do additional things in that park if we so choose. But to work up the park as designed and granted, then this number would be our limit on that.
Would it be worthwhile to expand that footnote as well to explain a little bit better, a little bit more fully, the acquisition piece and so on and so forth?
Based on current design?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but there could be variances to that based on Kitsap County deciding, you know, do they buy the wedge, do they not buy the wedge? What I do with a road, so it's still could have some variable costs.
Right.
Not that it would be our costs, but there
could be costs there. And once we get bids on that, we may be able to, or may choose to adjust exactly what we do in this budget cycle as well, because that will then tell us how much $425,000 will buy of that design.
Any other discussion about this resolution? All right, so those in favor of adopting the resolution as presented with the expanded footnotes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No one against it. So we move to the next resolution, which is resolution number 1004-2017, adopting the 2018 Commissioner's Rate Schedule. Is there a motion to approve this as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and discussion.
If I could go down in public, and I know we're being recorded because I want this to be on the record, a list of rates that are going to change, just the rates that are going to change, I think that would be helpful. First one is increase nightly guest mortgage to $1.10 a foot. It would include electricity and other amenities. The dinghy skiff tie-up rate is going to increase from $2 to $5. We're getting a lot of people that are anchoring out now, bringing their dinghy in, wanting to use our restroom, so we've hiked that to $5 a fee. The seasonal guest day month increase. Right now, we're charging normal rates for winter over mortgage. We're proposing to up that by 10%, so the rate will be $6.42. We're going to eliminate the nightly electric fee because that will be included in our fees. We're going to eliminate the sublease extension administrative fee. We have an administrative fee of $1 a foot if you sublease for longer than 3 months. The new program is going to be where we're not going to allow subleasing, that if you're going to be vacant from your slip, the court will manage your slip. If we rent it, we will compensate you. But one of the things that Mr. Karsmar was talking about is people have learned that they can sublet from 5 or 6 different people and those slips will never come up because they just move around the marina. So we're going to take that equation out of the picture. Open mortgage is going to go up on B, C, D, and E to 584 per foot from 567. Covered mortgage is going to go up to 943 from, I'm sorry, I can't remember what our rate is for covered mortgage.
It's 8 something.
It's basically going up the same 3%. Kilowatt hours, PSE gave us a raise this year. Because we're not a utility, we can only do a pass-through on kilowatt hours. They raised their rate for kilowatt hours, so we were able to go up, is it 0.3%, I think? So that will go up. The covered kayak slip is going up 3% to $26.25. So again, we try to raise everything by 3%. The hourly parking going up to $6 instead of $5 for 12 hours. The monthly commuter parking is going up to $85. And the new annual commercial buyer operating fee that is going to be $200 per vehicle per year. So again, that's going to be a sticker that's going on the window. It's not going to be transferable. If you have 5 trucks, you'll pay $1,000 in fees to operate a commercial buying service in the parking lot. The next thing we have is impound and chain fees. We have a lot of repeat offenders where they won't pay, we will impound their boat, they'll pay $100. 2 months later, won't pay, and we have another $100 fee. We're proposing to increase that to $200 for the second offense. And then the last one is, as Linda alluded to, the $25 per week message on the reader board. I envision the reader board to be its own separate budget category because expenses will be different and the income will be different, so I'm going to do a mini budget on the reader board so we can really track those costs and expenses. We are negotiating bulk rates with Kiwanis Rotary Chamber and the school district. They all want to buy into the $350 a year for messages. So there is a bulk fee going to be available for those kind of organizations. I will get with you and then we can talk about village training and see how we can work together.
So should that be reflected in the rate schedule? That we do offer a bulk rate
for
qualified organizations?
It could be.
Is the bulk rate, it seems to be evolving and moving. As we've talked about it before, it didn't include a whole lot of organizations, and there was a buy-in on the sign to qualify for that. I understand the Village Green's concern, but I also keep in mind that whoever is sponsoring the event would be the payee, not necessarily whoever is where the event is being held, so that may have assuaged some of the concerns. But I'm glad you're going to be keeping a separate budget on that so we can truly see if it's having to be subsidized, if it's generating more than it's costing, and so we can keep things at as much of a break even on that as we can.
To that note, I'm part of the budget for Wednesday, 9 a.m. is groundbreaking. So it's tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., and Terry will be there, I'll be there, and if any commissioners would like to be there for the photo op, it's pretty exciting.
It's dry. Yeah, I like the idea. You may have set a rate, user fee, you really don't know your costs. So this is a work in progress, and you're targeting what you expect it to be, but the constitutional thing is we can't give public stuff away. It's got to cover the costs, so I think that's what you're trying to do. But you're starting out at 25, and then you're going to see how it goes for the cost center there.
Any other comments on the rate schedule?
I just think there should be a note that qualified organizations may get qualified for an annual rate. Just because I don't want to discriminate against, I think everybody should have that information. Mm-hmm. But you would decide qualifications, so not anybody who shows up to the room. Yes,
I think the whole concept of explanatory footnote on that talks about references the separate cost center, bulk message rate, and that sort of thing would probably be valuable to users. And that's the only change that we've talked about making as it's presented. So as a friendly amendment.
Take it that way.
Is there, I'd like to call for the question to approve the commissioner's rate schedule for 2018, except why is it called the commissioner's rate schedule, Jim?
Because you're the only one that can set rates. Staff can't set rates.
Okay. The 2018 commissioner's rate schedule with the bulk rate, the footnote giving more clarity about the reader board budget and costs. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
If anybody has a complaint, Jim just says, go see the commissioners.
That's right.
It's their schedule.
That's why you get paid those big bucks.
Okay,
and the last of these resolutions is number 1005-2017, approving the tax levy increase for 2018. Jim, you want to make a few comments
about this? I'm going to defer to our wonderful controller.
This is just basic. So the first resolution ordinance is we're now the commissioners of Florida Kings are going to approve the difference from last year's tax levy, which increased slightly, and the percentage increase is 1.8827 from previous year. And the other page is what we're expected to get of the regular levy is $200,179. Pretty basic and straightforward. Mm-hmm.
So just a question. I think every year I have to re-educate myself on how this works because the numbers never seem to be the same thing in different places. Is that because it reflects the increase based on property value? Would you walk us all through that again? Because we show $194,867 for last year, we're going to increase it by $1,700, and somehow that gets us to $200,000.
Yeah, there's new construction too.
New construction and increased value,
and
that's projected. The county auditor's best guess, kind of.
The way, as I understand it, is we increased our net take. The county assessor decides what tax rate achieves that. So if property values went up a lot, our rates, our tax, the tax rate could actually go down.
Okay.
Because it's a bigger tax base. So we only increase, this is how much money we want from taxes. We can increase that by 1%. But the tax rate to achieve that is determined by the assessor.
Got it.
So, okay. You know, that's how it's out of sync sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have the letter that they sent us on all the calculations and numbers, if you'd like to look at it.
A whole new set of numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that twist on it.
Yes.
We give them a number and they back into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it makes tax bills look crazy sometimes.
That's why I wasn't a tax lawyer. Bankruptcy was so easy to understand.
Run it off. Okay, so is there a motion to approve resolution 1005-2017, approving the tax levy increase?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Anything else that you want to say, Jim?
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Business completed, so this is another opportunity for anyone in the public to make comment.
Well, I have two questions.
Yeah.
Kitsap Transit is becoming more and more of an issue here in Kingston, and I don't expect an answer for this, but if it would be possible for the Kitsap Transit Board to include some government agency representative from Kingston to be part of their board, would the board be amenable to that? I don't expect an answer.
Well, Commissioner Gelder is on the board.
Well, I'm talking about a Kingston government agency. He's a county guy. Mm-hmm. I look at all of the representatives on that board, and the mayors and all, we're kind of lost.
Because we're not appropriate.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
There is actually precedent for that, not necessarily on their board, but on the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council's Transportation Executive Committee. And that has, at different times, included the Port of Kingston when we were running a ferry operation, a passenger ferry operation. And it includes several smaller districts that have the same kinds of interests that we do. So it might be worth considering and exploring. Not necessarily on Kitsap Transit's board, but on the other policy decision board for at least funding that goes on in the county.
Well, to zero in on Kitsap Transit, I guess I'd ask, why isn't somebody more directly involved in Kingston on the board? But I guess that's a separate question.
Manchester may ask the same question.
So I do have another question.
Okay.
And it's to Dennis. I'm looking at this. You do a lot of work to put all of this financial stuff together. A lot of work. So you must have a very sophisticated computer to do that, or a lot of people.
Very sophisticated assistant.
So my question is, do you by chance run a parallel software program that does it in accrual accounting?
No.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. One thing I would like to Walt raised the question, i.e. at the end of the year, do we take the capital expenditures and stick them on the balance sheet? No, but we are still required to maintain fixed asset records for any asset acquired over $5,000. So we maintain a depreciation schedule, though. In the court, we have assets costing in excess of, I guess, $10 million that are sitting on a depreciation schedule, so the state auditors can come through and say, all right, even though you're going to cash basis reported and reported to the public that way, do you keep track of your assets? And the answer is yes, and we have the docs and hundreds of identified items, each assigned with their original cost, the estimated lives, the amount of depreciation we're still taking, so the state auditor can go back and say, what assets do you have to maintain accountability over those from a control standpoint? And the answer is yes, we do. So it's not like we've abandoned totally accrual accounting. We still have pieces of it around, but we do not have the capacity to simply switch a button and go to accrual accounting and produce anything meaningful without a lot of work.
Well, you're partially there.
So is the asset list available on the website?
No. But we have had people ask, and then we provide it to whomever. They've come to the office before and asked, and we ask Michelle, and we send it off.
How often is that updated?
Every month.
Every month. It might be appropriate on the website to post it annually rather than try it every month, but have the year-end asset depreciation schedule on the website along with other documents.
Get that to Juanita
So would it have been possible to back up and put the depreciation expense on the red boat so that we don't know the federal government? So
well, they've got their own schedule they're keeping track of.
But we are not depreciating.
No, but...
No, but we can't, right?
No.
Because we're not using it?
It actually has been depreciating very slowly, even though not in service, with the idea that it's available to be used in other transportation systems, I think is how they couched it. But the problem is that original cost that they funded, less that depreciation compared to the market value, still has $160,000 difference that the feds are going to say.
That's because of that 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to make a general comment with this discussion with regards to public transportation that Commissioner Gelder is hosting a Kingston Transportation Forum here tomorrow night to address some of the issues that are affecting us here in Kingston.
And that's at 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Thanks for bringing that up. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, any staff comments?
I just have my monthly report. If you guys like to see that real quick. Any of the public want to see any of them? Oh, she took the whole set.
Oh, two.
Oh, I stole yours too.
Of course.
So, like Dennis said, it's 9 months into the year, so that's 75%. Anything that goes to 75% is great for income. Anything below in the first century is not so great.
Do we reduce the number of dumpsters after the season?
After the summer, yes.
Yes.
I see the very first thing under income is this mortgage permanent. You cover, I think, undercover. Is that something we talked about starting to include that in this report? Is this just the first step of it, or?
No, that one is. That's where I put the saline case in code. Under that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not necessarily a kayak, so it's only one.
But the next two are broken out base rate.
Oh, I see. Cover premium. I'm sorry, I got stuck on the first line there.
Yeah, after the first line, we need to bring up the premium.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason it's under budget is because of having a lot of people out of covered mortgage and not being able to collect that delta.
Right.
So I'm just looking at kayak. Which the number on The accounting report is also 4962, also no, that is the same on both.
Yeah, they should be the same.
But the budget is different, is shown as different. The budget it is shown on this report that we just received as 4645, and is shown in the report that Dennis gave us as 3549. If I'm reading this correctly.
Can I make a stab at that? I like
yes, to make guesses. Yes, make a stab.
Is that because Dennis's report is the prorated budget and the report from staff is the full year's budget?
Yes.
Yes, but I do do the full year.
Okay.
Okay, got it. So,
we've already
got it. Percent of budget should be 75% if everything right. moved along linearly. Thank you. Very good stab. Okay.
For once in a while, I get something right.
I mean, so does all of the percentages as, there's most of these are between 65 and 85, but the ones that are over, is that and something you would anticipate given the seasonality of things?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We're starting to slow down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, Dennis, when you report month to month, we didn't see any really significant variance between this year and last year. You know, that comparison, except for big projects. So it sounds like we're tracking. We're on retainer. Is that what's reflected here with the 8%, or are we talking about how much we're using of those hours? You know, we're underutilizing our retained hours. So that's a bit of an anomaly on that line. Right? I mean, it's just showing the retainer on that. Mm-hmm. Because it's, that might be an issue when you start interviewing.
The other page is the profit and loss by class, that's just for September. You have to pay insurance in September for the ferry.
Are we going to are you going to establish a cost center? Is that ferry going to pick it? When Kitsap Transit starts getting involved, and that will be the ferry cost center. That will be all in the ferry cost center. You'll start doing some separate reporting on what's going on with that cost center. Probably a little more detail than here because of all the capital projects and costs and to be labor.
Hopefully our current ferry will be gone by then, so there'll be gone.
Well, I meant the ferry cost center with all the head pumping fuel different projects, so that'll be another.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then the last page is the employee cost. Spreadsheet's getting bigger and bigger.
The print will have to get smaller now, and that's the problem.
We haven't started the Christmas class yet. That's this month, and it's up and going. So we'll see the difference of park. Hopefully I can separate park and Christmas. The only last thing I have is a reminder, the auditor is coming November 1st. She wants to meet with one of the commissioners. Anytime, any one of you. She doesn't want to pick straws, I don't know.
Yeah. Draw straws, flip them on.
Okay.
I really like this spreadsheet by category. Okay, any other questions for one agent?
Not here.
Okay, thank you. Sam, did you have any report for us?
Nothing too exciting. I just have the list of public meetings and events for the month of November 2017. Go ahead and pass those down. And I also went ahead and assembled a list of meetings and seminars that are really just WPPA port-related remaining commission meetings, workshops, things of that nature, just for the commission's reference.
Keeping us busy.
And one thing that this does bring up is it kind of brings light to item number 15 on our current agenda, which is the November meeting date. As per the governing of the rules of port business for the Port Commission, we have established, we do fall back on, if the regular meeting date falls on a holiday, that we do go ahead and bump it back to that preceding Tuesday and establish it as a special meeting. But that does still require a motion to do so. So the November meeting date would fall on, what is that, the 22nd, Wednesday the 22nd, which is the day prior to Thanksgiving. And traditionally we have moved that back to Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, I think when there's a holiday involved, it can actually be a regular meeting.
Oh, can be.
Which, you know, if your meeting date falls on a holiday, I thought it was going forward. I don't know if it was forward or backward. But the only difference there is you can actually take action on things that may not be announced.
Right.
Which, I think you might want to check that out. But
yeah, I'll verify that.
That can be a regular meeting.
Okay.
Not that it means much. It's just if something we want to vote on something, it's not announced, we can't.
There may be a distinction between following actually on the holiday, and we're not on Thanksgiving Day, we're on Thanksgiving Eve, so.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I'll
so
check that
check
out.
That.
But either way, I think we're going to want to move that meeting back a date, that one day to the 21st.
We do this every year. Be predictable.
Okay.
So I move that the November monthly meeting, whether it ultimately be determined as a special meeting or a regular meeting, be scheduled for 1 p.m. Tuesday, November 21st, in place of 1 p.m. Tuesday, the 22nd.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And are we making the assumption that that will be here as well? Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Did you have further comments?
Just a couple things. One, I wanted to bounce out the organizational chart. We've had a couple changes in that we've hired Terrell and we've Austin Overton has left us to get married and travel the world. We have put Marvin Rose in there. Marvin was a temp for us for a long time. So anyway, I want you all to have a updated org chart, and we will make sure that gets posted on the web. The other thing is, Terry did a great job doing a couple of things. One, he designed this new poster for us, which I'll pass out for Kingston Christmas, Kingston Cove Christmas. This took a lot of work because it took a lot of collaboration with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. But one of the cool things, two things, that one, this will be on the ferries. So we printed it at a size where Washington State Ferries will have it placed. He also met today, or yesterday with Point Casino, and the Point Casino is going to display it. They're also going to be putting a reduced size of this in the rooms. So anyway,
great.
Great. Looks great.
Yeah, really nice. And then after about 4 days of work, I did the full grant closeout for CURB, submitted all the applications, submitted all of the changes and the commissioner's recommendations, and I got a nice letter back from CURB saying, but we need a lot more. So that would be my next week's project is, grants are not free.
I can explain that ROI thing. Yes, in fact, it is in the thousands, but because there's so little investment up front, when you take it out to 50 years, you don't get a lot of cash, but you get a lot of, it's like, what's the ROI on the ferry holding lot?
Okay.
You see, it's that sort of
number. So that number was accurate.
It was accurate, but it does meaningless because of the nature of the cash flow.
Okay. So,
you know, it's a little investment up front, but it doesn't bring a lot of cash in, but it goes out for 50 years. So, so that's what that was all about.
So can I ask a question about this? The following all the lines down, Ray, as facility manager, has these five folks reporting to him, but the marina supervisor isn't.
Yeah. The marina supervisor, which is a front desk person, Austin reports to one evening.
Okay, so he's inside.
Yeah. It's basically inside versus outside.
Right. Okay, that's what I didn't understand.
I think our policy said the administrative assistant is the board secretary. I think it's buried in there. So I don't know if that needs to be mentioned here, but I think it's buried in there somewhere.
Who is the board secretary?
Samantha.
Samantha.
For, in Robert's turn.
Right. Right.
The last thing is our RFQ for legal services was advertised, did go out. We have received something from Goodson already and closed on Friday. We'll know if any other attorneys are interested. We've advertised it.
Have we received anything from anyone else besides Goodstein?
Yeah.
Did you contact the people who had responded to the previous one?
Yeah.
So they know?
They know about it.
Okay.
I actually made personal phone calls yesterday.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner comments. Bruce, did you have anything you wanted to share with us?
No, I can't think of anything particular that... I attended the regional, all ports meeting a couple weeks ago, and the chamber board meeting. I don't think there's anything out of either one of those. You probably have seen the minutes from the all ports meeting already. So. Other than that, though.
In the paper article about the IDD that Brownfield is going to do, an industrial development district.
Yeah, there was some discussion about that. Not a lot. It sounded like they're still in kind of the earlier planning stages of that.
There was an article in the paper which made it sound like it was more serious than that.
Yeah. Jack did, he talked about it a little bit. It sort of devolved into a discussion about how those things work more than a particular project that they were on. So he did mention they've still got some hurdles and some hoops to take care of. It's kind of like the Port of Allen's application for a full-service marina. They're still working on that. They've got great hopes and plans, but there's a lot of hoops and hurdles yet.
Did Port of Bremerton?
Port of Bremerton typically does not attend.
Yeah, I just wondered if they had decided to.
one interesting thing I will pass on to you is I had missed the last two meetings because we were traveling. I was out of town, and I don't know if either one of you made that, but... A couple of the ports commented that they were really glad to see Kingston back because they look at Port of Kingston as the big port in the group, which is a little, you know, something interesting for me to have to assimilate. But one of you did point out, for example, you guys got a Ventec machine, and it worked, and so we studied you, and we got a Ventec machine. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else asked, well, where'd you get the idea for the Ventec machine? And they said, from Kingston. Oh, so they ran up to Kingston and looked at it and said, we got to get one of those. So in a way, we are doing things ahead of them as they grow, because we're just sort of the next size up. Interesting perspective.
Yes.
Sure. They don't have big staffs.
Yeah.
They don't have any staff.
Some of them don't, yeah, have any staff. Yeah. Okay.
Did you have any?
I have nothing to add, you know, meetings I went to or anything, okay, since we last talked.
The one thing that I wanted to mention is that I've been contacted again by Ann Fennessy, who is one of the planning group leaders for the ladies' professional golf tournament. And she's very interested in getting together and talking about how ports might collaborate to support this. And I was planning to suggest that you and she and I get together and want to return her call this afternoon.
One question I have for you, Mary, and it's, I know you're not doing it as a port function, but this is your sort of community survey, and you're sponsoring the chamber lunch this next month and speaking. I'm just curious if you had, you know, anything you could share with us that might be helpful for us to think about in advance that you've learned in these things.
I didn't do a community survey. I have been playing caregiver. It's really changed a lot of things in the last 6 or 8, 2 months. But what I am planning to focus on at the chamber luncheon is a quick review of the normalization and improvements at the Port of Kingston, update on the various projects that we're involved in, and then really slip over to what I see going on in the entire community. And which includes the shift with the Village Green Foundation, some of the passenger-only ferry discussions, some of the transportation conversation that we've been having within stakeholders, and the fact that pretty generally this community is coming together to figure out what its next step is, and there are different facets to it, but the awareness of the passenger-only ferry, which I intend to comment on the fact that it isn't just the passenger ferry that's going to change Kingston. It is the fact that we are poised as a very family-friendly, although we've never really seen ourselves that way, very family-friendly community that is going to, I can't even say like it or not, just the reality is with all of the real estate pressure and population pressure from the other side, we are going to grow. And the passenger ferry is going to make those people's lives tolerable. And but it would probably happen with or with, I believe it would happen with or without the passenger ferry. And that it's very important that we remind ourselves consistently that we're a community, and the way we've rocked and rolled over the years is basically, I'm going to use Rob Gelder's quote about, you know, this is a community that does for itself, and et cetera. So that's kind of the perspective as opposed to a singular focus on the port.
Thank you.
And if you already feel really bored, don't tell me. So. Okay, we've already settled on the regular meeting date being the 21st at 1 o'clock here. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Then let us call us. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor.
All right.